Amen, amen. Well, God bless you, church. Good to see everybody this morning. How many of you remembered to turn your clock forward 1 hour last night? Anybody forget? Anybody here, you meant to be at first service? You still think you're at first service? No, no. Yeah, amen, amen. Hey, I want to remind all the fellas, this Thursday, we have what we call men's battle briefing. This is something we started a couple of years ago. We do it 3 times a year. This is a time for me to get together with the guys in our church and share my heart and just share some things, especially for men. In the past, we've been doing these in the morning. We're going to try one in the evening this week. So Thursday night at 6:30, we're going to meet right here. We're going to have a great time of worship. We have a worship band, and I'm going to share a word with you that God has given me for the men of our church. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be worth your time. We're also going to be making a couple of announcements about some upcoming things for the men in our church that you're going to be very excited about. And so, guys, come on out Thursday night. We're going to have a great, great time. Would you open your Bible with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. We'll be there in just a moment. A few days ago, one of the great heroes of the Christian faith, Dr. Billy Graham, went to be with the Lord. It's said that in Dr. Graham's 58 years of preaching the gospel, he preached in almost every nation of the world. And in those 58 years, they estimate that approximately 210 million people came to faith in Christ through his ministry. That's amazing. The one and only time that I ever got to listen to Dr. Graham preach personally was 1976. I was 16 years old, and Dr. Graham came and preached in Seattle, Washington. And it was actually the very first event that was ever held in the newly built kingdom. And so there were great crowds every single night. He was there for 7 nights. The highlight was Friday night when Johnny Cash, who had recently come to faith in Christ, did a concert and shared his testimony. And I was so amazed that every single night the kingdom was just packed out. During those 7 nights, they estimate that 434,000 people came to listen to Dr. Graham preach. And when Billy Graham gave the invitation for people to come to Christ every night, I stood there, 16 years old. I was a pretty new Christian. And the tears would just run down my face. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing, as just thousands and thousands of people would come forward during that invitation. And they would come forward to pray to receive Christ in their lives. I was so excited to see what the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God's Word being presented clearly could do. So many people. And people from all walks of life, people of all different nationalities and skin colors, young and old, wealthy people, poor people. There would be businessmen wearing 3-piece suits coming forward to get saved, and there'd be hippies wearing tie-dye t-shirts coming forward to get saved. Non-religious people, people that probably never stepped church in life, came forward. And I remember seeing nuns come forward to give their life to Jesus Christ. And it was such a memorable thing for me. And it planted deep in my heart the truth that every person needs Jesus Christ. And the truth that Jesus is for every person. Every person needs Jesus. And Jesus is for every single person. When I asked this morning, if by any chance there's anybody here this morning, we had a few in the first service, that you gave your life to Jesus at a Billy Graham event of some kind, or after watching Billy Graham on television, maybe you prayed right in your living room to receive Christ. Is there anybody here that you gave your life at some kind of Billy Graham event. You gave your life to Christ. Would you raise your hand up this morning? Couple of you? Yeah. Amazing. Amazing to think about the impact. And yet, even as I reflect on the impact of seeing those people saved every night, the thought occurred to me the following week, well, there's still people the following week after the crusade, there's still people that need to hear about Jesus. And we can't wait for Billy Graham to come back to town, because it might not ever happen. And the Lord just spoke to my heart about the fact that this responsibility for telling people about Jesus is not just Billy Graham's, it's for every one of us that know Jesus, amen? That we're all to be inviters, and every church should be used by God to bring other people to Jesus Christ. We can't wait for, I don't think when Billy Graham died a few days ago, I don't think God in heaven turned to his angels and said, oh my, what are we going to do now? God has a plan to save people, amen? And we're to be a part of that plan. Billy Graham himself would say that most people, by and large, most people that come to faith in Jesus Christ do so because they've been prayed for, invited by someone close to them. A family member, a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker. So let me ask this morning, how many of you came to faith in Jesus Christ because you were invited by a family member, a friend, a co-worker, or a neighbor? Would you raise your hand this morning? Yeah, look around. Look around. Most of us, we came to faith in Christ not because of some big event. We came to faith in Christ because of just ordinary people, followers of Jesus Christ, who lived the life before us, prayed for us, and invited us into the relationship with Jesus that they had come to know. So this morning we're gonna read in the Bible about one man, an ordinary person, especially when he first started off, just an ordinary guy, that when he met Jesus, the first thing he wanted to do is he wanted his brother to meet Jesus. So John chapter 1, beginning at verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Now think about this. This is Peter, the one who Jesus said, "I will build upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against." This is his testimony, how he came to Christ. How did he come to Christ? He came to Christ because his brother invited him. Now Andrew had been a disciple of John the Baptist. And one day, Jesus passed by, and John the Baptist spoke to his disciples, pointed to Jesus, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." In other words, John the Baptist was saying, this is the person who I've been telling you about. This is the person I've been preparing the way for. This was the Messiah that was promised by God. This was the promise of the ages for the Jewish people. So when Andrew heard that he had seen the Messiah with his own eyes, the one his parents, his grandparents, his great-grandparents had looked forward to. All of these centuries had gone by, and the Jewish people were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, and now Andrew gets to see Jesus with his own eyes and become a follower of Christ. You can imagine how excited Andrew must have been, right? And the first thing that Andrew does, he's so excited about meeting Jesus, but the first thing he does after meeting Jesus is he can't wait to tell his brother. You know, when you're really excited about something, you've got some good news, you want to tell somebody. Right? You want to tell somebody. And that's exactly what Andrew does. I love verse 41. The first thing, everybody say first thing. The first thing Andrew did. It's the first thing he did. He meets Jesus, and he says, "I can't wait to tell my brother." But not only did he tell Peter about Jesus, he introduced him to Jesus. Verse 42 says, "And he brought him to Jesus." So he told Peter about Jesus, and then he made a personal introduction. He brought Peter with him and introduced him to Jesus. So here's our theme this morning. We're not all going to be Billy Grahams, but we can all be Andrews. Right? There's going to be very few Billy Grahams in the history of the world. We're not all going to be Billy Grahams, but we can all be Andrews. We can all know Jesus, and we can all invite someone to know him too. We're not all Billy Grahams, but we can all be Andrews. And as a church, we need to have a church culture that has the spirit of Andrew. As a church, we need to take advantage of every opportunity that God gives us to be inviters. We need to have a culture here at Bethel Church of inviting. Inviting people to church shouldn't be something we do once a year at Easter time, even though I want you to do that. Inviting people to church should be a culture in our church. Amen? I mean, I see Sue Beeman out here. Sue, as many of you know, Sue devoted pretty much her entire adult life serving the Lord in the Middle East so that people could hear about Jesus. And I say to you, Sue, that's a life well spent. That's a life well spent. That heart that just wants other people to know Jesus, who she got to know at an early age. Church, in 3 weeks, we're going to have a great Easter service, April 1st. It's going to be an awesome time. We're going to have great music. I'm going to preach the best sermon I know how to preach. It's going to be an awesome morning. We're going to have Easter eggs for the kids. It's going to be a great day. But can I tell you what'll make it so it's not a great day? If we don't invite anybody. I mean, if it's just us, you know, praise God. I love it when we get together. I love it when we worship Jesus. But we need to remember this. Jesus came and he died for people who don't know him yet. Right? For people who don't know him. And so I'm praying, Lord, help us to just fill this place up. Help us to be great inviters. Help us all to be an Andrew. To invite. So if it's so important to invite, why don't we do it more? And I'm preaching to myself here this morning. Why don't we invite more? What's so difficult about it? What challenges? Why don't we invite more people to know Jesus? Well, I think one thing that we struggle with is a fear of rejection. What if they say no? What if they don't like me? What if they get upset? There can be a fear of rejection. Also, just feeling inadequate. Who am I to tell anybody about Jesus? I'm not perfect. Or what if they ask me a question I can't answer? We feel sometimes inadequate, like maybe someone else should do this job. Sometimes we make false assumptions. That's why we don't invite. We falsely assume that this person's going to say no. Well, they might. But what if they say yes? Right? Or we falsely assume, on the other hand, we all falsely assume sometimes, well, this person told me a while ago they go to church. They must know Jesus. I want to remind you this morning, not everybody that goes to church knows Jesus, right? Don't assume that just because someone told you they went to a church service sometime means they know the Lord. We make false assumptions so many times. But if we were to be honest, a major reason why we don't invite more is because we don't care enough. It's apathy. You know, apathy is one of the number one weapons the devil uses against God's people. We just start going through the motions. And we forget. We forget things that we need to remember. It's apathy. We don't care. And my prayer is this morning is that the Holy Spirit would just burn a new desire in our hearts and chase every apathetic thought and feeling that we have out of our lives. Amen? Yeah. Let this today be a no apathy zone right here at Bethel Church. So, why should we invite? Why must we invite? Let me give you 4 reasons that we must invite people to Jesus this morning. These things are going to help us overcome all the reasons that we have for not inviting. The first thing is this. We're just going to start with something really important and basic. One of the reasons we must invite is because Jesus commanded us to. Let's just start right there. Jesus commanded it. Jesus didn't say, hey, here's a suggestion. Here's a thought. Jesus said this, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. Church, this is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. It's a commandment. We must invite because Jesus told us to invite. Telling others about Christ is at the very heart of God. It's who God is. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So when we invite people, we are fulfilling and following the very heart of God. We must invite because Jesus commanded it. Secondly, we must invite, this is so important, because every person is an eternal soul. Every person is an eternal soul. Every person you meet is going to live, not just for this lifetime, but for all eternity. And every person you know will spend eternity either in heaven, which God created for his people, or in hell, which is the result of mankind's rejection of God. Every person you know is going to spend all of eternity in heaven or hell. So when you look at people, don't just think, well, he's a banker, or she does my taxes, or that's my doctor. When you look at people, remember, they're an eternal soul. It's the most important thing about them. The most important thing about a person is not what they do for a living. The most important thing is, where are they with Jesus? Every person you know is an eternal soul. I'm going to take us to a passage of scripture in the book of Revelation. I got to be honest with you. This is a scripture that rarely gets read in churches these days. But this is the word of God. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what had been recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Church, this should terrify us. It should. And I know it's very popular these days to say, well, Jesus never judged anybody. Jesus never judged anybody. And that's somewhat true. There's some truth in that, because that was not his role when he came into the world. His role was to come and preach salvation, preach the kingdom of God, and to give his life as a ransom for sin. So yes, Jesus did not come to judge, but one day Jesus is coming back to judge. Do you get that? Do you understand that? The reason Jesus came the first time was not to judge, but Jesus is coming back as the only one who is righteous enough to judge. It's not my job to judge anybody. It's not your job to judge anybody. Only God can do that, because he is the only holy and righteous one. Every person you know is an eternal soul. A third reason we need to be inviters is this. We need to be inviters because Jesus is the only way to salvation. He is the only way to eternal life. You might think to yourself, well, who am I? Who am I to tell someone else how they need to live their life? Well, you're right. That's not your job. Our job is not to tell other people how they need to live. Our job is to tell people where life is. Right? You see the difference between the two? It's not my job to tell anybody how to live their life. It's my job to tell people where to find life. And according to God's word, the only one that has eternal life is Jesus Christ. Jesus said himself, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, how many of you know that is a drawing, a line in the sand statement. Isn't that right? And Jesus boldly declared it because it was the truth. He is the only way to God. The early church understood this in Acts chapter 4. The disciples said, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There's no other name. See, we might think to ourselves, man, my neighbor's such a good person. My coworker, they have such a good heart. And that's great. It's great to be a good person. It's great to have a good heart. But being good never saved anybody. Right? Being good never... If salvation could come through any other way except for through the cross, that's how God would have done it. He would have never sent Jesus to the cross if us being good could save us. He would have said, well, here's the rules. Go ahead. Everybody try to follow them. Be as good as you can. And one day I'll draw the line somewhere and hopefully you've done good enough. You know, this is how a lot of people live their lives. They live their lives hoping that they've been good enough, but the Bible says none of us is good enough. So instead of saying to us, to the world, go ahead and try to be good enough, God boldly says to us, none of you are good enough, but my son will be good enough, and he will die on a cross for your sins. How many of you think that is a much better way? Amen? That is much. So when we tell people about Jesus, we shouldn't be ashamed or embarrassed. We're not judging anybody. We are telling people the only real good news that there is, that Jesus loves them and died for them. We must invite because Jesus is the only way to salvation. And then fourthly, we must invite because the Father's heart rejoices over every lost sheep that is found. Over every lost sheep that is found. One of the things that Jesus came to do is he came to reveal who God is. And he did that by how he lived his life, but he also did it through his teachings. And in his teachings, Jesus told a number of parables that were spiritual lessons for people to understand who God is. And in Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three stories to tell people about the heart of God. He tells the people a story about a lost sheep and about a shepherd that left the 99 that were in the flock to go find the one lost sheep. And then he tells a story about a widow that had 10 coins but lost one of them, and she turned her house upside down to find just that one coin. And then the third story in that chapter, Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son. And when he told the story of the prodigal son, he wanted everybody to know the heart of God. So you know the story. The prodigal son turns his back on his father and his home. He lives in the world and does what he wants to do. He squanders everything that he had. He lives a very sinful life. And then he realizes all the money's gone, all his friends are gone. And he thinks, I need to go back home. So this is the big point in the story. When he goes home, what's going to happen? Is dad still going to be mad? Is dad going to say, hey, you made your own bed, son. Now you got to sleep in it. I have nothing to do with you. What is the father going to do when the son comes home? It's the whole point of the story. And Jesus said, when the son came home, here's how the father responded. He says, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Do you get the point of that story? Jesus is saying this is how the father feels about every lost person. He loves them. He invites them home. The heart of the father rejoices. At the end of the parable of the lost sheep, when the shepherd brings the one back that was lost, Jesus says this, I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. God rejoices over every person who finds Jesus. That's why we need to be inviters. It makes the father happy. Amen? It makes the Father happy. We must be inviters. And then church, We must be inviters, but we must also remember the power of prayer. It's one of the most powerful things we can do, is praying for people to come to Christ. We've got to be inviters, but we also must be prayers. One of the greatest stories that I've ever heard about someone coming to Christ as a result of another person's prayer actually comes from our own family history. Janice's great-grandfather, Williams, came to the Lord largely because of the prayers of his wife. And great-grandfather Williams was born shortly after the Civil War in the northern part of Michigan. And as a boy growing up in Michigan, as a young man, he worked in the woods. He was very strong. He was 6'2", weighed 230 pounds. He worked in the woods, and then he also worked as a sailor on the Great Lakes. And in his mid-20s, he met Janice's great-great-grandmother. So this is Janice's father's mother's father. Met great-grandma Williams. They got married and settled on the family farmstead, and he became a farmer. And he would plow the fields with mule-drawn plows. So you can imagine, he's a pretty strong guy, very strong-willed as well. Shortly after they were married, great-grandmother Williams started going to church, and there she found Christ at a local Free Methodist church. Great-grandpa Williams was not interested at all in going to church, so she began to pray for him, and prayed for him for several years. And finally, in his late 30s, there was a revival that took place at this Free Methodist church, and he agreed he would go one night. They had 5 children, 2 boys and 3 girls. So they packed up the kids. They took 2 wagons. And so all the boys, Grandpa Williams and Great-Grandpa Williams and the 2 boys went in 1 wagon. Great-Grandma Williams and the 3 girls went in another wagon. They went to the revival service. And, of course, Great-Grandma's praying for Great-Grandpa. But he doesn't give his heart to the Lord that night. She was a little disappointed. So they packed up the kids in the wagons, headed for home. God had a miracle waiting. When they got to the house and got to the front yard of the house, a bright light suddenly appeared in the front yard. Such an astounding bright light that the horses that were drawing the wagon reared up, knocking Grandpa Williams onto the ground, face first in the dirt. He got up, he looked up in the front yard, and there was a giant angel from the Lord standing in the front yard. He got saved. I mean, right there on his knees, in the dirt, Great-Grandpa Williams gave his heart to Jesus. And he was radically, radically saved. Janice's grandmother would later say that even the mules could tell that he was a different person. He was so much more nice to them. And this was a miraculous, obviously miraculous salvation, and it came as the result of a praying wife, serving the Lord, faithfully praying. And I look back on that and I think, because of those prayers, not only was Great-Grandpa Williams' life changed, but then his children and the following generation, and then I got to have the privilege of marrying a woman whose life was radically, whether she knew it or not at the time, radically changed because of the prayers of her great-grandmother all those years before. This is what God does. Think about Andrew. Man, Andrew inviting Peter. Do you think Andrew had any idea the impact that his brother was going to have for the gospel of Jesus Christ? No, he was just a fisherman then, right? He was just his fishing brother. He said, I want my brother to know Jesus. Think about all the lives that were changed because of one invitation. Church, we're not going to all be Billy Grahams. but we can all be Andrews. Amen? We can all invite somebody to know Jesus who has changed our lives. And the Holy Spirit will help us. All the ways that we feel like, man, who am I? I'm so inadequate. These are lies from the enemy, because the reality is it's Jesus in us that's going to make the difference. It's the power of God's Holy Spirit working through us. That's when change happens. I'm going to ask everybody here, would you bow your heads with me? Just close your eyes. And I just want to ask, how many of you this morning would just be honest and say, man, Tim, I've become apathetic in terms of inviting people and praying for people. And I need to have personally, I need to have my heart just stirred once again for lost people. I need to be reminded that every person I know is going to spend eternity in one of two places. Lord, work in my heart. Help me to be a person of prayer. Help me to be an inviter. If that's you today, would you raise up your hand, because I want to pray with you. God bless you all. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for those hands. You can go ahead and put your hand down. Now let me ask this morning, are you here today? And even as we've been talking about the importance of telling people about Jesus, maybe you're here and you're not sure if you know him yourself. And I've been talking about the fact that he is the only way to salvation. He's the only way to forgiveness. The cross is the one and only way. Are you here this morning and you want to pray to receive Christ into your own life? You need to be saved. If that's you today, would you raise your hand? Let me pray with you right where you're at. Anybody here? Today you want to receive Christ into your life or recommit your life to Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand right up. Looking around, I don't see any hands. Hold it up high if you're holding your hand up so I don't miss it. All right, let me pray with you. Father in heaven, God, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord. God, I pray that this would be a no apathy zone. God, that our hearts would be stirred again to tell others about you. God, that our hearts would be stirred again. We would get on our faces and pray and seek you. God, we would remember that every person we know will spend eternity in one of two places. God, we know your heart is you don't want anyone to perish. That's what your word says, but for all to come to eternal life. And I pray that the heart you have, we would have. We would have the same heart, God. Forgive us, Lord, for being apathetic. And I want to pray, Lord, right now for every person here that's they're inviting family members, they're inviting friends to Easter Sunday. I pray, Lord, that it's, even if people say no, they won't get discouraged. They'll keep on praying. They'll keep on inviting. And God, I pray your anointing. I pray that day, Easter Sunday, this place is going to be filled up with people who need to hear the gospel. They need to hear about Jesus. And I pray, Lord, Easter Sunday, God, heaven is going to be rejoicing over all those who find Christ. We thank you, Lord. But Lord, I pray that you'll help us to have a culture of inviting here at Bethel Church that goes well beyond Easter Sunday. Easter's going to come and go. Lord, help us to have a culture of inviting. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Would you welcome Pastor Ben as he comes and tells us about a couple of things?
All right. Well, I'd like to invite our ushers to come forward as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning. And wanted to let you know, we've made it easier for you. Easter Sunday, right? Coming up. April Fool's Day. No kidding. April 1st. We made a little touch card. And those are actually available. You can grab some today. They're out on the Welcome Center table out there. And if you want to grab a couple of those, it's just, you got it in your hand. See that coworker, see that person, and be bold this week. I'm going to pray for you now, assuming you're going to do that. Lord, I pray for us today. You would help us to be bold this week in inviting people to come on Easter Sunday. We know it's going to be a day that you're lifted up. We know it's going to be a day where we're going to preach the gospel, a day where people will have an opportunity to get saved. And I pray now that you would be putting those people on our hearts to invite to make it here on that Sunday. Bless the offering as it's given today. In your name we pray, amen. All right, love you guys, and check out the screen, because we got a couple announcements.
Welcome to Bethel Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we would love to connect with you. And there are a couple of ways that you can help us do that. From your phone, you can text BCVPGuest and your name to 24587. Or you can fill out the guest card in the chair or the pew rack in front of you, and place it in the offering bag, or return it to the Welcome Center located in the lobby. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. Getting acquainted with a new church can be challenging, and we want to help take some of the guesswork out. On Sunday, March 18th, right after second service, we are hosting Starting Point, a free class to help you learn more about Bethel Church and our vision for the Valley. From church membership to places to jump in, Starting Point answers all your questions about what community life in the Bethel family is all about. Lunch is included and childcare is provided. So sign up at the Welcome Center today and let us get you headed in the right direction as you connect with our pastors and with each other at Starting Point.
Easter is arriving early this year, and it's time to start making plans. Sunday, April 1st, join us at 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. for two power-packed services as we celebrate our risen Savior with fellowship, worship, and, of course, God's Word. Between services, there will also be a fun Easter egg hunt for kiddos from toddlers to tweens out on the lawn, and Pastor Tim will be kicking off a new series called God Can. So remember, services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. this Easter Sunday, April 1st. We'll see you there. For more information on great things happening at Bethel, check this morning's bulletin or visit medfordbethel.com.
All right, well, let's stand together this morning. God bless you all. Thanks for being here today. Let me speak a blessing from God's word over your life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good week.